Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." And then he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Yet because of its impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God.
Oh, at the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, together be acceptable to your sight, O Lord, our rock, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen. When he was a little boy, he loved to be carried by his parents, to be wrapped in the arms of his mother or his father. In his mother's arms, he felt secure, and he could smell the perfume and the lotion and the skin and her skin, and that is the way his mother smelt. And he loved to be carried by his dad, especially when he was on the shoulders of his dad. But this little boy was so most in favor of when his dad would scoop him up off the couch in the living room at bedtime, to walk up the stairs to put his little boy to bed. And then one night, this boy realized that if he listened real carefully when he put his head against his dad's chest, that he could hear his dad's heartbeat. "Dad, I can hear your heartbeat." And the dad would gently put his son into bed, and then the dad put his ear to his son's chest and smiled and said, "And son, I can hear your heartbeat." It became their unofficial way over the years as this boy was growing up. It became their unofficial way over the years to say goodnight and "I love you." And then, you know, all babies, all young boys and girls, they tend to grow up, and that is a good thing. And when this teenager got too big to be carried up, when this teenage boy was 14 years old, he thought his parents were the most embarrassing things on the planet of this earth. And he really could not wait to grow up and graduate from high school and move the heck out of that house. And over time, this teenage boy did grow. He eventually left the house. He did get married, and he had his own children. Somewhere in the 20s, guess what? Something amazing happened. He realized his parents really weren't that weird. He realized that his parents really were smart. The boy's mother died in her 60s with a heart condition, but he kept one of her sweaters just to remind himself of what she smelt like. The boy's dad lived much longer, and as time passed, his father grew older and weaker with old age. And one day, the son decided to stop by the dad's house after work. And he walks into the kitchen, and he finds his dad alive and laying on the ground, though, in a pool of melted ice cream. His dad fell and couldn't get to the phone, and so the grown-up son picks up his dad, scoops him up, because at that time, he was only 100 pounds. And he takes his dad, and he goes up the stairs and puts his dad in his bed. And when the son put his dad in his bed, his father looked up at him and said, "Son, I can hear your heartbeat." And the son put his head on his dad's chest and told his dad, "I can hear your heartbeat too." Is there anything more intimate than to hear the heartbeat of another person? Is there anything more intimate than to hear the heartbeat of another person? Do children ever feel more secure than when they are lifted up and carried in the arms of their parents? Can human beings ever desire anything more than to be held so close and to know they are so loved? The disciples ask Jesus. The disciples of Jesus come to the Lord in today's gospel, in Luke's gospel, and they ask Jesus, "Teach us to pray." Now, this was not an unusual request. All rabbis taught their disciples how to pray. But compared to lots of the other rabbis, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples is remarkable because of its simplicity and its directness. In fact, I've heard it said that many saints have suggested that Jesus taught us everything we need to know in the beginning words of this prayer. He taught us to pray, "Our Father." He taught us to call God our Father. Now, throughout the gospel, Jesus uses the image of a loving parent to convey the truth of who God is and how God loves each of us. Now, we have to understand that any human word that you and I try to use to name God or to describe God conveys only a part of the truth about God, but never the whole truth about God. Every noun we use to name God, well, it only tells us part of the truth. Every adverb or every adjective to describe something about God tells us only something about God. That God is so far from our comprehension that every human word that we speak about God conveys that truth imperfectly, incompletely, because you know what? There's always more to learn about God, because there is always more to know about God, because there is always more to experience of the living God. Always more to know. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus uses the image of a mother hen gathering her young close to her to convey the reality of divine love. In John's gospel, Jesus uses the word Abba. Can you guys say Abba? Abba. It's like a childlike name, like a baby name for Papa. And it conveys utmost trust, absolute trust. And the disciples ask, "How should we pray?" And Jesus answers, "Call God Father." This is crucial. This is essential. Call God Father. Because sometimes as we read other parts of the Bible, sometimes we can get the impression that God is either distant or angry, or God needs to be placated or pleased, or that God is keeping score. Parts of the Bible even tell us that God likes to haggle and even bargain. But that is not all the Bible tells us. Some of us in the house this morning, some of us have an impression of God that tells us that God is a judgmental God in the most harshest kind of way. But Jesus says, when you pray, call God Father. Jesus says, when you pray, call God Father. It is as if Jesus is saying that God is so in love with all of his children, that God is so in love with each of you that he wants to carry each of us in his arms. The God of Jesus Christ is a God who desires intimacy with you, with us. This is the God who can be so close to us that we can hear his heartbeat and he can hear ours. Folks, this is why Jesus was born. This is why Jesus was born. This is why the Word became flesh. From all eternity, God has had something profoundly important to tell you, to tell each of us. God has wanted to tell us how deeply we are loved. God knew that this kind of message had to be delivered in person, face to face. And so he sent his only son, Jesus, who became flesh, who became human. And in the ministry of Jesus, God says to his children, listen. Listen. I have something so important to say to you. Folks, whenever we draw close to the person of Jesus, whenever we draw near to the person of Jesus, if we draw near and stay close, we will hear the heartbeat of God and he can hear our heartbeat. Jesus is the revelation. Jesus is the incarnation of the heart and the heartbeat of God, who he taught us to call Father. Go back to that picture of Jesus. It's an intimate hug, isn't it? It's intimate to pray, so vulnerable, so naked-like, to say, God, I need to draw closer and I need to hear your heartbeat and I want you to hear mine. This is the abundance of what God has for each and every single one of us. He invites us to come near. And not just to say, amen, but he wants you to come in and stay close to Jesus in every single thing that you do. Because he taught us to call God Father. Now, many of us, our custom of saying the Our Father prayer, the Lord's Prayer, some of us say it daily. We always say it at least weekly, right? I hope you say it more than just in church. But for this week, I want to invite each of you to do something perhaps uncomfortable, perhaps something different. Every morning, every day, for the next week, I invite you to be still and just say that one word, Father. Even if it is only for 5 minutes in the morning, maybe right before you get out of the car to go into your work, just sit and call God by name. Father. Father. And as you do, I want you to picture yourself being held so tightly and closely and securely in the arms of God, carried along by God's strength and goodness, that you can hear God's heartbeat and you know that you are a child of God. That you know you matter, that you know that you are a child of God. And then throughout the rest of the day, when you are frazzled, when you're running late, when you are busy, when you get angry, when you get fearful, when you get stressed out, stop and return to that word, Father. And then return to that image of being so close to God and knowing that you are the beloved child of God. Return to that image, I am a child of God and I can hear his heartbeat. Folks, God has so much to tell you if we will listen. God has so much for us to do so others will know God as Father. Notice that when Jesus was teaching us to pray, he did not say, my Father. Nope. He taught us to say, our Father. This prayer is not designed to create a self-centered, isolating, individualized sense of piety or spirituality. The Father whose heartbeat that I can hear is not just my daddy, but he is ours. He is everyone's. The God who loves me beyond my own imagining loves my neighbor the same way. And you know what? God has the audacity to love our enemies the same way. To pray our Father instead of my Father is simply a way to confess that I am part of something much bigger than myself. To pray our Father instead of my Father is simply to confess that I am part of something much bigger than myself. To pray our Father rather than my Father is to admit that I'm not the one who gets to create the guest list for this amazing encounter with God's heart. The Father determines who his children are. The Father loves all the people, even the people we struggle to like. The Father, our Father, wants to draw every person who walks the face of this earth into the embrace of his heart. Will you spread that good news to others? Are you going to try? Good answer. Good answer. In summary, the Lord's Prayer cannot be just words that we recite. It is a prayer that we live. It is one thing to say the words of our Father prayer, but it is entirely a different thing to live out the Father's Prayer. When we live the Lord's Prayer, our Father's Prayer, it becomes more than words that you say. It is the choices that you make. It is the grace that you show. It is the forgiveness that you give and receive. And it is the bread that you share. Our Father, Jesus said, when you pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. You know, Pine Cliff was truly, absolutely amazing, even for those of us who didn't want to go. Even for those of us who had other things to do. Even for those of us that had a lot of reasons why not to go. You know, even as your pastor, I struggle sometimes just surrendering. But it made such a difference in these children's lives. They played games. These are the games that they kept their clothes on instead of having their swimsuits on and sliding in the pool of blue stuff or green stuff or red stuff. I did not do those games. There's always a hike up to the cross. Always. That's my most favorite part. There's always campfires. We had a 15-year-old girl from Christ United Methodist Church lead worship every single day for 2 weeks. A 15-year-old. And there are kids that I never see sing, and they were singing with Megan leading. And this picture here is the reason I want to invite all of you to think about being part of Pine Cliff now, before Ron gets to his desperate moment in June of next year. He already has the dates. This is little Hayden, and he's part of this church. I sent his mom this picture, and she said, "Thank you so much." Because sometimes as parents, we don't know what our kids are doing and if they're really having a good time. And Hayden was up at the very top of that cross, and I said, "Hayden, I want to take a picture of you so I can show it to Michael." He goes, "Michael?" And that was the picture I took. Because Michael last year got to go for that whole week and only got to go for a couple days this last week. But this little boy remembered his counselor from last year. He didn't know that Michael is my husband. A couple of weeks before camp, he sees Michael getting cheese and crackers, and he goes, "Michael, you're here." You never know. And when we talk about our Father, when Jesus is modeling how to pray, I want to encourage each of you not to try, but to do it. It's not about being perfect. It's not about having the right words. You can seriously just start with, "Father. Father. Father." And you could say amen. The same thing with these kids. I did the whole trying thing. Isaac volunteered right away. He's a junior high boy from one of the other churches. He comes running up. "Oh, I'll try. I'll try to pray for my sister," he said. I go, "Okay, come up here. Let's talk about try." This is Lama. She's one of ours. And she said, "Ron, can I go paint that rock at the entrance of the camp?" So I took a picture of it without her there, not knowing that she just painted it a few hours earlier. But it is an amazing part, and it's an amazing experience to really help our kids and to know that praying and coming to church, helping them to read the scriptures, it is a way to model what Jesus modeled for us. Amen. Amen.